pulling off those accents. I don't know how they did it. Che Guevara, Lenin, Hitler, Fidel Castro, and Jesus. How do we feel when we hear Jesus' name alongside these people? Confused, angry, offended? Surely Jesus doesn't deserve to be compared to terrorists and dictators.
Of course he does. His so-called teachings are dangerous and causing a rebellion among our people. He had to be stopped.
But he was only hoping to make us wiser and help us to be better people.
There wasn't always much wisdom in the things he said. The times are just sounding crazy. Camels from the eye of people rise to the world. Every day, like a mustard seed, the dead burying their own dead. And when he started to turn us, he was going to die. He thought it was the
But it's not like Jesus has killed anyone. He hasn't damaged the world in the way the others have.
On the contrary, Jesus changed the world more than all of these other people put together. The way Jesus' life is reflected in art, literature and popular culture goes far beyond all of these other people. There seems to be no escaping the things he said.
So Jesus was, in fact, the most dangerous revolutionary in history. And even now, he threatens the status quo with the crazy things he said.
Yes, he was a revolutionary. When he spoke, people listened. The disciples left their homes and families to follow him. But he never killed anyone. He didn't need to shout to be heard. He's more powerful than those you described earlier, and his message was one of peace. Rather than teaching us to hate, he taught us to love.
The reason Jesus' teachings seemed so crazy was because he wanted to clearly and plainly communicate the gospel, and to do so with the passion God had given him. When we share the gospel, we should do so with the same passion Christ did nearly 2,000 years ago. The most downloaded sermon by Paul Washer has nearly 38,000 views on YouTube. While I don't necessarily agree with all of what he says, one thing I do agree with is this. So many people are deceived into believing that because they prayed a prayer one time in their life, they're going to heaven. And then when they look around at others who profess to know Christ and see those people also just as worldly as the world, and they compare themselves by themselves, nothing troubles their heart. He goes on to say, what you need to know is that salvation is by faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ. And faith is followed by repentance, a turning away from sin, a hatred for the things that God hates, and a love for the things that God loves. Paul Washer may not be the judge of who goes to heaven and hell, but it's clear that our faith is worthless unless it changes how we live. This doesn't mean turn or burn preaching, or joining the local monastery. It means acting from the heart. After all, the mark of a good Christian isn't how many people they lead to Christ, but the way in which they're seen to live out what they believe. As some of you will know, I'm part of a Christian discussion group at school. And sometimes when people find out I'm a Christian, they ask me how big a part of my life my faith actually is. My answers are the same every time. My faith is my life. Jesus doesn't call us to be Sunday morning Christians, to own up to going to church reluctantly, and to give a fiver to children in need to ease our conscience. Faith is about living every moment alive and to the full because the Holy Spirit is alive within you. And that Holy Spirit was a gift from God himself. The Spirit that's inside of you is the same Spirit that caused Jesus to come up with his teachings and to live his life as a revolutionary. It's not something you can leave in the pew at the end of the service. You shouldn't leave it at the school door, nor should you bring it out for special occasions. It should be the fire that lights every area of your lives. In Jesus' case, the Pharisees found the flame too hot to handle. There are still some people who are simply afraid of spirit-filled living. That's why the role of youth workers in the wider church is so important for young people today. In my experience, the school is one of the biggest spiritual battlefields any person can face. I think we can all relate to the way in which the world encourages us to think like the world, to speak like the world, to act like the world, to make decisions like the world. It's sad to grow up in a world that is afraid of difference. Despite this, think about how many lives Jesus was able to change through his words and his actions. Think about the effect you could have on today's world. If Jesus were living your life for you, what would he be doing differently? Revolutionary is a term that may make some of us slightly uncomfortable. But there's no doubt in my mind that Jesus' message of love remains the biggest revolution the world's ever seen. As Christians, we're called to be part of it. It means being tempted, being mocked, and sometimes suffering for what you believe. But isn't it amazing to think that because Jesus is alive in you, we all have the power to change the world? We're going to go into a time of worship now.